You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a new week of the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, you can subscribe to it, and we will deliver the show to your device each morning so you can listen to it on demand. Your options for doing that include iTunes and Spotify. And if you do enjoy this show, please consider giving it a good review in iTunes. Helps us out. We certainly appreciate it. And we say thank you sincerely to everybody who has left us a good review in iTunes. As we start this new week, I'd like to talk a little bit about a prominent position group on the Jets that is going to need some work during the offseason. It's a group that was not that good this year. I'm not necessarily going to say underperformed, because there were plenty of question marks going in about this group, and it is the offensive line. And the group play, the play of the group was poor enough that it did ultimately lead to a coaching change, as Steve Marshall, the offensive line coach, was let go by the Jets after the season. They will have a new offensive line coach. Reports indicate it will be Rick Dennison, who had a lengthy stint with the Denver Broncos. Last year he was Buffalo's offensive coordinator, and they also, the reports also indicate that Dennison is going to serve as run game coordinator. He's going to be in charge of the Jets rushing attack. The Jets have not made any official announcements yet, but that's seems to be the direction. We haven't heard any reports suggesting anything else, so at this point we probably have to think that Dennison is going to be the guy in charge of the offensive line. But we're going to take a look at the position, where things stand right now. We'll go position by position, and the place we start out is the position that is generally viewed as the most important spot on the offensive line, and that is left tackle, where the Jets have Kelvin Beachum. And Beachum, believe it or not, actually at this point will have the second highest cap hit on the team in 2018 at $9.5 million. And Jets signed him last offseason, and it seemed fairly obvious at the time that this was a two-year commitment. The way the contract was structured, the Jets did not really leave themselves a lot of flexibility in this contract structure. They, this year, have a $9.5 million cap hit, $7 million of dead money if Beachum's cut. $2.5 million in cap savings, you know, 9.5, so $7 million stays on the cap of Beachum cut. Only $2.5 million come off. Yeah, so this was it was kind of a risky move, because Beachum did not have a good season in Jacksonville in 2016. He was coming off a serious injury. The Jets kind of banked on him returning to his old Pittsburgh form after suffering a serious knee injury in 2015, and the results were bit up and down for Beachum, if we're going to be honest. He really did not provide much in the way of run blocking. His pass protection was some good, some bad. I think overall it was good enough. That's probably the way I would put that. So the Jets rolled the dice, and I think you could probably argue it worked out. I don't think this was a smashing success, but at the left tackle spot, I think it's one of those positions where you need something serviceable. If you have something serviceable, at least you at least have a shot of having a decent team. Whereas not having anything at left tackle is just something that destroys your, that can destroy a season. So I think that the Jets got what they needed out of Beachum. It's one of the, I think left tackle is a spot where the difference between from good to average is much smaller in terms of impact than the difference between average and bad. And I think the Jets got something that was, it was good enough from Beachum. It wasn't spectacular, but it was good enough. And it's Beachum's a guy who I think is kind of nice to have around, because he is, if nothing else, he's a stopgap. So if the Jets draft a new tackle, they can kind of ease that guy in. You know, that guy will not have to protect the blind side his rookie season. You'll have Beachum there, so you can either play a drafted player at guard or start him out at right tackle, less demanding positions to ease a rookie in, and then next year you can make a change and move that guy out to left tackle. So it's a nice, Beachum's a nice guy to have. It's a nice spot to be in at the position if you don't actually have a guy. You at least have a serviceable stopgap option there. Now, the one thing I think the Jets need to avoid is counting on Beachum going forward. I don't think Beachum's a long-term solution. And one of the things that's plagued this franchise for years is that they never really developed a plan for the post-DeBrickashaw-Ferguson world. You know, and you could see as Ferguson was getting older, his play level was declining, his contract situation was not great. And for offseason after offseason, the Jets just kept putting off and putting off a decision with Ferguson. They kept putting off finding a successor. And ultimately, it kind of came back to bite them because they were kind of caught empty-handed 2 years ago when Ferguson abruptly decided to retire. So the Jets need to avoid that mistake again with Beachum. I think they'd be making a mistake, and I'm not sure Beachum's necessarily near retirement age, but he's not good enough that you can really plan on him being here for 5 years. You have to think bigger picture. You have to think longer term. You have to find somebody, whether that's this offseason, whether it's a year from now. But I think the Jets definitely should be in the market. Beachum's not good enough that he should prevent you from drafting a left tackle if the right guy finds his way to you in the draft. Now, left guard James Carpenter is coming off a guy. He's coming off a bad year. And the center, Wesley Johnson, takes a lot of the blame for the offensive line's woes. But there were just too many instances where Carpenter lost one-on-one. I just have to straight up say that. And the Jets are moving to, if Dennison is indeed hired, the Jets are moving to a new offensive system, which will likely heavily feature the zone run game. Now, you can never say for sure, but people from the Alex Gibbs, Mike Shanahan school of offense, they tend to really, really focus on the zone run game. So will Dennison be different? I'm not entirely certain. But the issue with that is Carpenter played in a system like that early in his career in Seattle and was not that good at it. Carpenter's more of a power guy, I think. He's a guy who likes to play man blocking. Essentially, what your job is to drive the guy who's in front of you forward. You know, you're essentially just looking to blow your guy off the ball. Whereas zone blocking is a little different. Zone blocking, everybody's moving laterally at the snap, and you're not necessarily looking to drive a guy 3 yards into the backfield. What you're looking to do is get everybody moving and then kind of block at angles. You don't necessarily need a lot of power. You just need athleticism because with everybody moving, you're kind of looking to hit a guy at the right angle. And that's not really Carpenter's not really a great athlete. So I think he's a guy who could be something of a surprise cut this offseason. The cap implications are such that Carpenter is scheduled to make $6.8 million. Only $2.1 million of that, however, stays on the cap as dead money if he's cut. So $4.7 million in cap savings if Carpenter goes, which it would be a nice down payment on a replacement who maybe fits the system a little bit better. Now, a lot of people, I've seen a lot of Jets fans suggest that, you know, Carpenter just had a bad year. It's time, you know, give him a chance to bounce back. And I can understand that argument, but at the same time, I wonder whether Jets fans may be overrating him a little bit. You know, this is not a guy like Nick, you know, this is not Nick Mangold where you have, you know, close to 10 years of highly productive play. This is a guy who has two good years, one bad year with the Jets. This is not, there's no guarantee that this guy's going to bounce back and find his game again. And this is a guy who, before he came to the Jets, was a pretty big disappointment in Seattle. He really was not, really did not justify a high draft position with the Seahawks. So I think this is a guy who easily could be on his way out. And, you know, it's just a guy, maybe a guy who doesn't necessarily fit the system. Now, you know, we don't know. Maybe Dennison and Jeremy Bates are willing to be a little more flexible, to run a little more power. But at the same time, you know, you have to look at what everybody else on the line is good at. And I don't think there are many guys other than Carpenter who are good fits for a power-oriented offense, like a man-blocking type offense. So, you know, and this is one of the things I heard last year, is why are the Jets playing more to Carpenter's strength? Well, it's not about Carpenter's strengths. It's about the unit as a whole. And just the unit as a whole, you don't have a lot of guys who could block straightforward. So again, not a lot of guys are strong at the point of attack. So it's, you know, what's good for Carpenter may not be good for the line as a whole, for the offense as a whole, for the team as a whole. So Carpenter's a guy who status is very interesting. I don't think there's a guarantee he's going to be back. The next spot to look at is the center position, which was far and away the weakest link on this offensive line in the year 2017, where the Jets banked a lot on Wesley Johnson, and Johnson did not deliver. It really struggled all season. He struggled, and it wasn't that different from how he looked in 2016 when he played a lot filling in for Nick Mangold. It really was not that great 2016. The Jets thought that they could coach him up. They thought they could get more out of him, and it really did not pan out particularly well. Johnson, again, struggled to identify stunts, twists, blitzes in the pass protection game, and really was not strong at the point of attack. Run blocking, really did not identify his guys well. It's not just that he was a guy who looked over his head as a starter. He looked like a guy who really may not be even a backup in this league. And the Jets put a lot into him. Jets invested a lot in him, and he just did not pay results. Now, he's set to be a free agent. Presumably, we think the Jets will let him go. And I say presumably because I just go back to 2 years ago when the Jets were tight up against the cap. They had Breno Giacomini at right tackle, who was kind of a weak link. He had a bad contract. Jets were going to be able to open up some cap space by cutting him. He was just a guy who it seemed obvious all offseason the Jets were going to let him go. The Jets were going to move on from him. And then they ended up bringing him back for 2016 in a move that really did not make a whole lot of sense. So you always have to account for the idea that maybe Johnson comes back. But you would presume Johnson will be gone. Now, it might be another situation where the Jets think that they can coach him up. We'll see. Sometimes guys look hopeless on the offensive line. I really do think the offensive line is one of the few spots where good coaching moves the needle quite a bit. I've seen plenty of guys who look hopeless under one coach, look really good under a new coach. So, I mean, would the Jets even think about it? Do the Jets think Johnson's talented enough to recover? I don't know. I think you should move on. And I think there are actually a lot of good options out there. I mean, I think there are some quality players in free agency, like Richburg, who I think would be a decent fit in the zone scheme. A guy like Jason Kelsey is actually from Philadelphia, could be a cap casualty. Now, we don't know. They may restructure his deal, but Eagles are kind of tied up against the cap, so he's a guy who could come in. And I think there are some good players available in this draft class. There are two guys I've watched so far, Billy Price from Ohio State, Ragnow from Arkansas, two guys who look like really quality prospects to me, and those are just two guys I've watched so far. There might be more than that. So I actually think center, with the resources the Jets have, center is a weakness, but it's one of the few spots where I do think that there are going to be legitimate solutions for the Jets to choose from in the offseason. And one of the issues with this team is they have so much cap space, but you look at this free agency class, it's not stellar. Center, I think, is one of the few positions that exist where there could be an option there that could help this team out. I think the Jets probably will find a center either through the draft or in free agency, because the options should be plenty of viable options there. So as concerned as you should be based on the level of play the Jets got at the position, I actually think there are solutions there for this team. Now we move to right guard, and you have Kelvin Beachum, of course, had the second highest cap hit at the current moment for 2018. Brian Winters has the fourth highest cap hit. And 1 year into that contract, it's not looking so good. He's due to make $7 million for the upcoming season, 2018. And the money is fully guaranteed. So Jets will save nothing by cutting him. So he's back. He's the starting right guard. The Jets don't have a choice. Now, a year from now, things might be a little different. They'll have a little more flexibility when it comes to Winters. There'll be zero dead money next year. So if he has another bad year, they can cut him easily. I think with Winters at this point, you've got pretty much three quarters of a quality season after 5 years in the league. So that's not anything that's all that confidence inspiring. He's a guy who, he's kind of the opposite of Carpenter. He's not that strong at the point of attack. He is kind of athletic. He can move pretty well. He's been effective when the Jets have pulled him. He's done a good job on some trap plays. I think he's a guy where you're just hoping that maybe a move to a heavy zone scheme helps him out a little bit, helps him use his athleticism. He's a little banged up this season, but I've kind of come to the conclusion that if you're healthy enough to play, You can't make an excuse about injury. If an injury is something that's the difference between you playing well and you playing poorly, well, then you shouldn't be in the lineup. He was a little banged up at points during the season, but I can't use that as an excuse. He looked like the player he was most of his career. And at this point, he had a decent 2016. I thought it was a little, even at the time, I thought it was a little overrated. And it was a season that was kind of out of context with the rest of his career. This year, he kind of regressed to the player he's always been, which is erratic, not, you know, a guy who was easily pushed back, easily moved around. Just really not a guy who's a big asset at guard, and now he's making $7 million a year. So less than ideal situation. I think you just have to hope things get better there because you don't really have a choice. He's going to be the starting right guard in 2018. So you hope maybe a coaching change, maybe a new system that suits his skills a little bit better can lead to a turnaround. If not, he'll probably be out the door. So that's really, I mean, that's really all you can say about the right guard position. And finally, right tackle, where you have an incumbent guy. You have Brandon Schell, who will be entering his third NFL season. And his play has been very up and down. You know, his career started off on a very good note. He played well late 2016, had a couple good games to start 2017. Then week three against the Dolphins, he had a rough game against Cameron Wake, which was unfortunate because just 1 week earlier, he had really handled Khalil Mack quite well out in Oakland. And you started to feel like maybe the Jets were onto something with this player. And the rest of the year was very erratic. You know, he did not play well as the season went on. He had some bad games against Cameron Jordan, against Von Miller, which, you know, lots of people do. But even against some of the lesser opponents he faced, he kind of struggled. He's a guy who I wonder whether he's kind of a tweener, because I don't know whether he is athletic enough to handle the responsibility of protecting the edge in the passing game. At the same time, though, he's not really a dominant run blocker, so I'm not sure whether this is the type of player who could move inside to guard and have success. He's probably going to be the starter because the Jets don't really have a choice. I mean, there's just certain positions where you have to play young, cheap guys and hope that they produce and you hope that they improve. But the thing about Schell is that his biggest issue, again, is his athleticism. It's not really a technique thing. It's not really the type of thing that necessarily you expect to get better with more experience. I think you have real concerns about whether he can protect the edge well enough. Now, I think there's a possibility if the Jets draft somebody again, Beecham's in the mix. Beecham's going to be starting at left tackle next season. So if you draft somebody early who you view as a potential successor to Beecham, maybe that guy plays right tackle. I don't think Schell's good enough that he should impact your draft strategy at the very least. If you come out of the draft and nothing really makes sense, then okay, you move forward with Schell. But I don't think you find a guy. I don't think you say, well, I'm not drafting him because I have Brandon Schell. Because Schell right now is an open question. It's not really clear how good he is. Not really clear whether he's going to be a starter, a quality starter over the long term. That's a question mark you have. So, I mean, if you look at the offensive line, you don't really have much in the way of answers right now. You have lots of questions and lots of weaknesses. So that's where the Jets stand right now. Of course, they have a full offseason, plenty of cap space, and the draft to try and make it better. And a new coach and a new system. Thanks for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe to it. Options include iTunes and Spotify. And if you enjoy it, give it a good rating. Hope your Monday is excellent, and we'll be back on Tuesday.